Aloha, and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. Join us today along with co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Leslie Silva, and Martin Arinaga. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. As you hear the gripping stories today from our special guests, we invite you to call us at 296-5467. Again, that's 296-5467. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose, character, courage, faith. These are attributes that make society strong when lived out in people. The shaping of such necessitates attention at an early age. The most fundamental position is in that of the home with parents. But let's face it, with so many broken homes today, it's just not happening. Herein, we find the importance of teachers and coaches. I recently heard that in South Korea, the school teachers are actually called nation builders. What a title of respect and dignity and meaning. Today, we have one of Hawaii's foremost teachers and coaches in studio. But as we begin, we want to remind you that the whole heart of the show, why Alfredo Canencia and I are here with our guest, is to bring you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we share and as we talk story, we talk out of the openness of our hearts, and sometimes out of the brokenness in our hearts. Sean Saturnio has been a teacher and coach at Waipahu High School. Under his leadership, the Waipahu High School varsity football team has grown to strength and success. He teaches the reading workshop course there at Waipahu High School. But the strength and success in athletics has largely been in part due to his focus on building men of character, students of courage and faith, and more. Sean is married to Lehua. They have two children, Christina and Isaiah. And Sean is here to speak to us, heart to heart.
Yeah.
Sean, welcome to our show.
Oh, peace be with you, brother. Glad to be here.
Tell us, Sean, where did you grow up?
I grew up on the Big Island of Hawaii, first on the Kona side. And when my youngest brother was born, my brother Joe, who was born with Down syndrome, mm-hmm. we actually moved from Kona to Hilo for the better services for him. And I was a proud 1985 graduate of Hilo High,
oh, wow.
and where I ended up moving, going to school in the mainland for a couple of years before transferring to and finishing up at the University of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Growing up in Hilo, what was it like?
Oh, Hilo's God's country. And I may be biased on that. But
it rains a lot there.
It's such a wonderful place where, you know, the essence of aloha, you know, the family bonds, just the slow-paced lifestyle. You know, you drive over there in the evening and it's like you're pitch black. You know,
uh-huh.
I go back to visit my family and you just realize as soon as you get off the plane that it's like a weight is just carried, you know, taken off your shoulders.
Mm. You know what I like about Hilo?
Yeah.
When I'm driving,
yeah.
the person that I don't know that's driving from the opposite direction.
Right.
Waves at me,
yeah, that's right.
and
yeah.
we wave at each other, and we yeah. become friends. You know,
just right.
right on the street. At first it was surprising, but then yeah. it was endearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
You know. Now, yeah. now, how did your family end up in Hilo?
Well, long story. My dad was born and raised on the Big Island. My mom's actually from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And my dad and one of his his buddies had this budding taxi business in Kona.
Mm-hmm.
My mom so happened to just be on vacation, and she ended up jumping in his taxi cab. And he said, "Hi, my name's Bill. What's yours?" She said, "Maureen." And then next thing you know, a couple months later, she flew back out, and they got married.
Wow.
And
sounds like a movie.
Your dad is the man. Wow.
Yeah, so it was very, very interesting. And, you know, and for my mom, it came at a time, too, you know, back in the, you know, mid-60s where, you know, she's a Irish woman from Chicago. Mm-hmm. My dad's a local brother. And, you know, going back, you know, there's not a whole lot of guys that share our skin pigmentation in that side of the family.
Right,
but you know, we got such a wonderful family on both sides. And I've just been really blessed that the Lord chose my particular family to be born into.
Sure. Now, who influenced you most in your growing up years?
That would be my mother, just for the fact that, you know, my dad's one of those old school guys, you know, those guys born in like the 30s and stuff that, you know, their definition of being a great father and husband was, you know, you're going to be the provider. And a lot of times he was off working. And, you know, so my mom, in essence, you know, raised us, and you know, she was the one that got us to church every day. I mean, every weekend and things like that. And you know, it was that course of growing up like that, you know, where you kind of wish that you had more time with your father. But I've realized something that was very profound along the way, that when I realized as I grew closer to my father, you know, later on in life, that, you know, he carried a lot of wounds, and a lot of those wounds get passed on. And you know, if you don't ever get those wounds healed, you pass those wounds on.
Mm. Yeah.
And I do realize that when you have a healed life, you pass healing on.
That's right.
And that really shaped a lot of the things, and I think it really helped shape my purpose in this world.
Wow. So, you know, you played sports, and who was the influence in the sports? You know, because you grew up, and I can remember of different ones who really influenced me. And beside my dad, you know, other people kind of influence you in athletics.
Yeah. Well, my dad was actually the first one that got us involved in sports, me and my brothers. And you know, he was a football coach. He boxed in the, you know, as he was growing up. So we were always around that. And you know, I think that was one of the things too that we had that bond, and you knew that as long as we kept playing that there'd be that type of connection there. But along the way too, I was blessed with just really good men that volunteered, you know, their time. Coach Jerry Wersig at Hilo High, you know, a bunch of, you know, it takes a special person to go out there and, you know, give up of their time to, you know, guide and help mentor a bunch of, you know, younger people out there.
That kind of explained why, you know, when talking with you, I realized you have a big heart, because you had some good role models and people who influenced you, and it's kind of, that was passed on to you, and I noticed that it kind of carried out in the way you coached and the way you lived.
Yeah. And, you know, going back with my younger brother, Joe, you know, who was born with Down syndrome, you know, I was 9 years old when he was born, and, you know, everything right away, that was still at the time when they were putting people like my brother in institutions, and that was an option, but, you know, my parents had that wisdom that, you know, this is my son.
Wow.
You know, this isn't, you know, someone that just gets pulled away. And I'm not, you know, making judgment on anybody who's made that decision before at all. But one thing that I did learn as growing up was, you talk about that agape love.
Yeah.
And that's when I really just sensed that just, you know, despite, you know, the disability that he had, that such an outpouring of grace and love, and, you know, just not a hurtful bone in his body. And that was it, you know, that was one of my other influences to want me to pursue, you know, teaching, to give back in that way. And I, like I said, I've been blessed with just, you know, with, despite difficulties, but just being surrounded by a lot of love.
Mm. Wow.
You know, you're surrounded by love, and you've shared love. You know, you shared love with a lot of young people. I mean, I can't say that enough. I mean, the teachers, the coaches in our society, they really have given up a lot to make society better, make our life better, make our world a better place. When we come back from our break, Sean, I'd like for you to maybe talk story a little bit with us about teaching, right, coaching. How did you get into that?
Yeah, that's
I want to talk about your faith. And, you know, tell us about your faith, your journey of faith. Then, of course, later, let's talk about family. Family is always a tender point in our hearts, huh?
Right.
Coach Alfredo?
Yeah, that's so true.
But thank you for sharing heart to heart with us about your brother and your family. When we come back, we'll be here with more from Sean Saturnio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia. Before our break, we're talking about teaching and coaching, along with Sean Saturnio, our featured guest today. He is a teacher at Waipawa High School. He's coached for 11 years, Waipawa High School football team, 2 years as a JV coach and an assistant, but 9 years as the head coach for Waipahu, the Marauders.
Yeah. You know, Coach Sean, you know, just sitting with you and talking with you, I feel so comfortable. I can identify a lot with what goes on in your mind, your heart. You know, what led you to become a coach, you know?
Well, I think, you know, growing up playing sports, you always have this affinity to continue on. And then eventually, you know, football or whatever sport people are involved in, you know, that competitive side kind of weans off. You know, you finish college and then you kind of into the world and your career and stuff. But, you know, that passion that you have to play is something that you want to see in other people, and it's something that, you know, God's blessed us with all types of different gifts, mm-hmm. And I felt that was something that gift of teaching and coaching are one and the same.
Yeah,
one
right.
and the same. You know, a good teacher will be a good coach, mm-hmm. and a good coach is a good teacher. Yeah. So, it's amazing how I got started coaching football at Waipahu. I was still an elementary teacher at Waipahu Elementary School. And we had gone up to Waipahu High School for a field day. And little backstory on this, good buddy of mine, Albert Covello, who was my classmate and teammate at Hilo High, mm-hmm. Went to school at La Verne up in California. And he met this guy, Todd Fujimori, who was at the time was the head football coach at Waipahu High School in college up there mm-hmm. when he went to Whittier. And on one of those times I was back home, he said, "Hey, if you ever go run into this guy, Todd Fujimori, just tell him I said, what's up?" And then we went up there. I didn't know Todd from Adam. And a lot of our former kids were up at the high school. So, you know, you go and you see him and stuff. And as I was walking up to the football field where the field day was, I see this guy with glasses, a Waipahu football shirt on. I said, "Well, I'll give it a chance." Mm-hmm. Went up, introduced myself. And then I said, "Hey, my buddy Albert Covello said to tell you what's up." Well, one of the kids, as I approached him, said, "Oh, that's Coach Fujimori." So I introduced myself, and then the first thing Todd said after was, "Hey, do you want to coach?" And then that kind of shocked me, because I think, you know, a lot of like former athletes and stuff, yeah. when you're done, you kind of go cold turkey, and you kind of like, you want to get in the, you know, in one way
somehow
or another.
Be involved.
Right, right,
yeah.
right.
And then that kind of opened the door where, you know, went in as a JV assistant coach, and then the very next year he said, "Hey, can we go get lunch?" And then so we met at Chili's, and he said, "I gotta ask you a question." He said, I saw what you were doing at the JV level, and I got this question asked you. I said, "I'd like you to come up and be the varsity offensive coordinator or to be the JV head coach." And then, you know, that's, you know, you get kind of thrown back, because again, this is just 1 year of coaching under your belt. And so, obviously, the pinnacle of, I guess, in high school, you want to get up to the varsity level.
Right.
So, you know, but something prompted me to just ask him, "Hey, where do you need me?" And he said, "Well, I need you to be mostly at the head JV level." So I said, "Okay, so that's what we'll do." And then that started, and we had a good season. And then right after, after the season was done, this was in the spring, getting ready for spring conditioning and stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, Todd was led to step down. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know,
wow!
In 3 short years, I became the, you know, head of the program at Waipahu.
Wow, that's amazing. You know how, you know, destiny comes calling after you.
Mm-hmm.
And because you have a heart. And, you know, God, he kind of knows the gifts and talents he places in us. And somehow he makes a way for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so were you kind of shocked when he first asked you, "Hey, you want to coach football?"
Oh, yeah. You know, it was, you know, you go there for a particular purpose. Like
yeah.
I said, the field day. And then you end up leaving with an opportunity that
wow.
you never expected. But then you realize, too, that God works in that
yeah,
those ways
yeah.
so often.
So 3 years later, you become the head coach of a program, Waipahu High School football team. And, man, and you know, after 9 years of journey, there's some amazing things that happened from year to year. I know you said in the beginning it was a little rough. You know, get into the program.
It was, you know, what I saw just having taught at the elementary level in Waipahu, and just seeing across society where this void of leadership, I think, is sometimes
right.
with young people, that, you know, what they need is that strengthening of character, where a lot of them, you know, lacked for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. And I set out to say, okay, let's build a program that does that teaches them how to be good men.
Right.
And let's teach them in a loving way. And that, you know, in a sport like football and love, usually those words aren't too synonymous with each other. And to get started with that, you know, eventually, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, you know, wanted to make love the foundation of what we do. And as we grew as a program, and as I matured more in my faith, when you start realizing that God is love.
Right.
And if love was the foundation of a program, that eventually, because of that, our young people would find God. you know, because that was the basis of what we did.
You know, I like, you know, what you told me earlier when you said that you would you asked your staff to coach with love, hoping one day your players would find love, which, you know, which is God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that was the whole, you know, foundation of your coaching. And I thought that was really neat because, you know, we as coaches, and if you're people of faith, you know, God wants us to express that love, because there's a lot of kids that come out of Waipao who have no fathers, you mm-hmm. know, no foundation at home, and mm-hmm. you become like their father.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, an extension too, I think, was also by setting that foundation, it helped me heal in a lot of, I think, father wounds that many of us men carry along the way. And, you know, going, I remember when I was 15, my mom, and that was the first time I ever remember my dad hugging me and telling me he loved me. My mom and dad actually just came back from this marriage encounter retreat. And I remember that when he did that, it felt like somebody was rubbing me with sandpaper. It was the most uncomfortable feeling because it went so opposite of what I was used to with my father. And I realized as I you know, got older too, that no young person should ever feel that.
The sandpaper feeling, yeah.
Nobody should ever feel awkward when somebody expresses love to them. And, you know, sometimes the kids that we had, the young people we had at Waipao, you know, for whatever reasons, you know, the experiences they have in life, you know, you build up walls, and you find we wanted them to be able to not only learn to love people unconditionally, but to be able to receive love unconditionally. And that's a hard thing for people to do. And that's the one thing, you know, I think we're probably number one in the country with dishing out hugs to kids, because that's one of the things from day one that we've always done. But one thing I did notice too that happens every year, the new kids that, you know, come in, and the first time they get hugged had almost the same reaction I had to with my dad. But those are the very ones that hug you the tightest when they leave, and they probably got the deepest tears when they go. And that was, you know, and it's something in some sense that was healing, you know, for myself as well, you know, kind of along the way. And that's the wonderful thing about, you know, loving people. I think it's, you know, as much as you become this conduit of grace and you allow God's grace to flow through you, you know, it's kind of like those rusty pipes below the ground in the water mains and stuff. You know, on the outside it's dirty and it's rusty, but it's still clear water that flows through. And the wonderful thing about that is as that clear water goes through, it takes a little bit of the rust away, and I found that to be true in my life.
That's, you know, awesome. Sean, you mentioned about God, you mentioned about love. Tell us about your faith journey. How did you find God?
Well, you know, I was born and raised Catholic. I still am. In fact, Duke Iona, my good brother, just who's got now up at St. Louis. We both go worship at Resurrection of the Lord Church up in Waipio. We're called what we call cradle Catholics. We were born and baptized in the Catholic Church. And, you know, along the way, so I've always had the Lord in my life. Now, like so many, you know, just because you have the Lord in your life, it's like the difference between being a believer and being a disciple. You know, there's millions upon millions of believers out there, but the ones that are actually disciples are a lot fewer. And so, you know, was rooted in the church, and like I said, thankfully to my mom that kept that going. But, you know, as you go through your years where, you know, you're searching, and I don't know exactly. You know, Pastor Joe Onosai talks about that God created us with this spiritual puka in us,
right?
Just so that he can fill it. But, you know, along the way, we go and we try to fill it with other things. You know, as you grow up, it's sometimes with sports. You know, as you get older, then it might be with women. It might be with alcohol.
Right.
It whole bunch of, you know, different things like that. So, you know, as I grew along, you know, I kind of wandered away a bit. But then it just, believe it or not, it became more, I think I probably grew more in faith over the when I started coaching, because I realized, and I guess that was God's plan and purpose for me as well, that as we laid this foundation for these kids, I realized that you know, my faith started growing. And, you know, I realized that I didn't, you know, that a tree is always known by its fruit. And I realized that the fruit that was coming out of my life didn't always match the tree that I was claiming that it was coming from. And so that really, I think, you know, when God promoted me to that position, you know, of where other people look up to you and see you, I looked, you know, I had a lot of time to look at myself and said, you know, Lord, you know, help me with some of these things that I need to get better at.
Yeah, it's amazing how when you help other people, like, you know, your players, you have a kind of reflection of seeing where you really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the process of helping them, you know, and loving them, guiding them, and somehow you know inside of you, you need to be guided. Mm-hmm. You need to be loved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's kind of like, you know, it's you ministering to them, you're encouraging them, but God's drawing you closer to Him.
Oh, yeah.
In the whole process.
And what's been wonderful as well, too, and with the coaching staff, and I've been really blessed with a lot of good men that have come through. And, you know, when we started, and you know, some of our struggles were, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of football guys, per se, that had a lot of football experience or football coaching experience. Mm-hmm. But the common factor that they did have, that they were good men. And that's what I wanted to surround our young people with. Mm-hmm. But because, and they were hard workers, they were teachers, and then they grew. And, you know, over the past 5 years of our program, we've won 60-some-odd percent of our games. Mm-hmm. And so we grew in that part, but the coaches themselves will even say that they grew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speaking the language we speak to these kids, you know, like you were mentioning earlier, it's, you know, there was transformation in our staff as well. Now, and not everyone on our staff was a believer, but you could see transformation occurring. And that was just, you know, such a wonderful thing to see.
You know, the progress that is being made is, you know, you can attest to it. The lives of kids, the lives of coaches, love being shown, mm-hmm. the journey of faith, you coming to know the Lord, being not just a believer,
right,
but a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sean, when we come back from our break, I wonder about family.
Mm.
Your wife, Lehua, your kids, Christina and Isaiah. I wonder if you can talk to us a little bit about the home front.
Okay.
The special place in our lives, public life,
mm-hmm.
public service. But talk to us about the home. When we come back, Sean Saturnio is going to share more heart to heart with you, with us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. Afraid that you will not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with Sean Saturnio. Sean is a teacher at Waipawa High School. He was a head football coach at Waipawa High School, varsity head football coach, the pinnacle in high school athletics, the sport of football, for 9 years. 9 years. Incredible story of how he connected with Todd Fujimori, who was the former head coach at Waipawa High School. And then you shared with us about your journey of faith, the difference between being a believer and a disciple. There's a lot of believers, but disciple, walking with the Lord, following the Lord. And you gave out so much all those years. You created an atmosphere, a culture, an environment of love for your athletes. Some of them, like you said, you know, that first hug, that sandpaper hug. Mm-hmm. Because they're not used to experiencing a healthy hug, like the way that you were expressing. But in all of that, you know, you're married to Lehua. You have two children, Christina and Isaiah. Tell us about your family.
You know, the interesting thing about coaching, and you see, you know, when you're coaching in such a way that we did. You know, you see the effects it has, not only on your players, but in the climate of the school, the community. And, you know, we've had times when former players would crawl over our fence at like 3 a.m. to knock on the door because they needed somebody to talk to. One of our players whose mom passed away, you know, calls you to go down to be with the family, and their family asks you to be the one to pray for the family before they, you know, they take their mom away.
Wow.
But, you know, what you realize too, you know, is you're stepping out as a faith warrior, you know, and a warrior battles. And a lot of times you go out and you're battling on all these foreign fronts.
Right.
And you're doing a righteous thing. You're doing what's pono. You're going out. But along the way, sometimes you forget to protect your own home. And I found that over the years that's what I allowed to happen. You know, the man is supposed to be the spiritual head of the house. And there is a way, you know, I've always taught my boys and my children that, you know, being a good man involves three things. You know, it's one, you accept responsibilities for your actions. Two, that you become a man of service. And then three, that you do things pono. You do things the way God intended it to be done. And as I was going out and fighting the good fight there, I realized that I was neglecting, and not purposely, mind you, but neglecting my number one job, which was being a husband for my wife. You know, we're called to love our wives like how Christ loved the church.
Right.
And I realized, and I think a lot of men realize that they don't really understand what that truly involves. You know, that agape love, that love, the way that we as men or as just people in general can't conjure up ourselves. But when we become open to the Lord and let that love from Him flow through us, I realized I didn't have that. And although I was building success in the lives of a lot of young people, I neglected the person that I needed to pay the most attention to.
How did you come to realize that, Sean?
Well, you know, it's like, you know, things happen. It's just like in when dawn turns into day, you know, there's degrees, there's subtle degrees that next thing you know, it goes from darkness and it doesn't just automatically snap to light, right. But it's a gradual process. And sometimes in the unfortunate things in your life, it happens that way as well. You know, you aren't vigilant. And I realized I wasn't meeting the type of needs that my wife needed. And it, like I said, it wasn't purposeful that to go out and just say, well, you know, I'm just going to do my own thing. But you realize that, you know, a little bit here, you know, you move away an inch here, an inch there. And next thing you know, years go by and you're a mile apart. Hmm. And, you know, I realized and it had, you know, devastating effects on my marriage. And it's something, like I said, too, you know, regardless, I've had to live with the fact that I've forgiven myself because I beat myself up a bunch mm-hmm. about that, mm-hmm. that, you know, because I shirked my responsibility. It's ironic that you step out and you're such a godly leader in one aspect, but yet where you're supposed to be leading the greatest, you know, that's probably where you failed.
You know, one of the things of hearing your story, Sean, you know, Coach Sean, is you know, I really respect you because people sometimes realize it, yeah, but you know, they fail to take the steps, mm. maybe of the promptings that God placed in their heart to make things right,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, you knew, you realized it, but you actually was going to take action on some of the things that God was placing on your heart. And I tell you, when you told me that, I respect you for that, because a lot of people try to bury it, stuff it down, and still just go on with the show.
Pretend like everything's okay,
right?
Without actually addressing it.
Yeah, not facing it, and you
because
know,
that's,
yeah.
That's why, you know, the realization of it, and yeah, I mean, to take realization and responsibility.
That's right.
With it, now, I mean, you know, somebody listening today, Sean. Like you said, could be feeling the same way. What kind of feelings did you have when you began to realize, hey, this is getting out of my reach, mm-hmm. it's getting out of my grasp? How did you feel?
Well, you know what's funny is that as a coach, you know, you have this control factor,
right?
That, you know, you set your program, you set, you know, the type of offense, the defense, the special teams you'll run, the practice schedule, your off-season conditioning schedule. You have all this. And then you get to a point where now you have no control,
mm.
and it's a helpless feeling. And, you know, I think along, you know, getting to that, you know, kind of addressing back with my dad, you know, I think there was like I said, he had a lot of wounds that, you know, that get passed on. And I think what we have a lot of times in society, we have this generational passing, we inherit, you know, great things from our parents, and you know, unfortunately, sometimes we inherit some things that aren't so good. And I realized that for in doing what we did in coaching was to try to get that point where we could stop that. To say, you know, okay, you know, the hurt that you carried, let's address that now. Let's get that fixed, because you know, I realized that the things that I loved about my dad, I passed on, you know, to my wife and to my children. But you know, also the things that hurt me early on, I realized I was passing those things mm. on as well, mm. and I needed to get myself right. And you know, a lot of things, you know, you don't know how until you start. Again, as I started growing in faith more, I realized that that's what the problem was. You know, I was this Christian man that wasn't doing my very best to live a Christian life. You know, I think I did a good job, yeah. but we're called to do a great job at it. And when, like we talked about earlier, right. it's we'll never be perfect, but we're always in progress.
Right, we're in progress, and, yeah.
You know, I think looking at that, you know, getting those feelings where you step back and, yeah. you know, you just pray and you realize that I gotta, that there's some things in life that I just gotta let go and let God.
Mm. Yeah. So this brings you to that point where, you know, you're having success as a coach in the community, but you realize you need to let go to take care of some matters at home. And this is where you felt God begin to put promptings in your heart. You know, tell us about that. You know,
yeah, you know, in the you know, in making the decision to finally, you know, take a step in a different direction. You know, there's a I still haven't fully discerned exactly the reason why, but it comes down to the obedience of what was, you know, pressed on my heart. And I was it was about January of last year I started feeling this subtle voice that we all hear that sometimes we try to dismiss, and that was saying, hey, now's the time I need you to step away. And of course the first thing that pops in my head, well, this can't be God talking. You know, why would God say to walk away from something that bears great fruit, that you see such tangible evidence? You know, on just the football side, you know, we were having success as a program. You know, it doesn't make sense. And you know, honestly, part of it was selfish, because that was the thing. As much joy I was getting of doing God's work, you know, you get that great satisfaction too inside of you. And part of me was, Lord, don't take this away too. You know, don't let this get out of my grasp. And so I like to call that my Jonah period, where, you know, I knew what the call was, but I was running from it. And it was about June, this past June, that Barrett Awai, a good brother who's been on the show before, he calls me up and says, hey, you know, I've been praying and I just got this feeling that, you know, you got to step back.
Wow.
And then, so, okay, that's confirmation number one. Wow. And, you know, then I was kind of sharing with him, you know, what I was feeling. And then still, but, you know, I didn't want to let that go. I think part of it, even though we weren't created to have a spirit of fear, it's very tough sometimes to follow through on that. And I said, well, no, you know, I'm still going to be coaching. You know, I don't want to let this go. And then as, you know, we had our first full contact Christian camp, I believe, ever in the state, was held at our school. Wonderful schools from all over. So, you know, you see that continuing to grow. And then just about the evening, it was the evening of our football camp. This was in July, just before school got back, our Waipahu football camp. Our kids were all settled down in the gym to sleep, and I was lying my futon out. It was about 4 in the morning. And then just all that evening, the spirit was just so heavy, and it was like, when are you going to listen? You know, you talk to everybody about being obedient, and, you know, I've shared with a lot of people that, you know, I'm going to stay planted where I'm at and bear fruit until God moves me. But, you know, that's all fine and dandy when what God places on your heart matches what you want. Mm-hmm. When God places something on your heart that runs, you know,
crosses your will,
when it goes against what you want to do, you know, then that's the true test of faith. So anyway, before bed, I just said, okay, Lord, you know, just convict me when I sleep. You know, I'll do whatever you place there in the morning. When I wake up, I know what I'll have to do. And I'll be honest, I prayed before I went to actually sleep. I said, Lord, please let me keep coaching. And then I woke up in the morning, and I knew what I needed to do. And it was hard. I'll be honest, man. I cried, because it was letting, you know, I realized I was kind of holding on to something, you know, that still, you know, there's something that I was good at that I enjoyed doing. And I realized that the Lord was asking me to, you know, turn that over. And so, you know, I just told a couple people. I told our head JV coach and my defensive coordinator and my special teams coach. And I didn't want to make it about me, because the program was never about me in the first place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was amazing. The next day, so this was a Saturday, when I just finally said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. At Mass on Sunday, it was amazing, because the first reading that we went through was from Hebrews 11:1. And it just was about faith. And then when we got to verse 8, and it was talking about Abraham's faith, how he just obeyed, even though he didn't know where it was going to take him. And we end up in the Catholic Church, you know, there's a point in our Mass where we sing a psalm. And one of the verses we sang was, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And I realized that's what I was I wasn't hardening my heart toward the Lord, but I was hardening my heart for what he wanted to put in there.
Mm. You know, when you hear his voice, when we hear his voice.
Man, that's so awesome.
When you hear his voice, well, that's the word today. Harden not your heart. You know, Sean has been sharing from the heart.
Right.
I mean, sharing out of pain.
Yeah.
Sharing out of brokenness. I mean, in a lot of ways, you're still in the process of transition. Decision has been made. Mm-hmm. It's out there. But you're telling us about what happened in that process. And you know, somebody today, Sean, and perhaps it's you as you listen. You're in that agonizing place of having to make a decision. You're asking God to speak to you. Show us, show me a sign. Give me an impression. Let me know. And there's confirmation, confirmation, confirmation. And you're maybe like Sean, going to sleep and saying, oh God, let me just keep doing it.
Right.
And God makes it very clear. Well, Sean is taking some steps now in the process of obedience. And things are happening.
Mm.
Of course they're going to happen as you step out in obedience. He's going to share more with us when we come back from our break. And here's the thing. What happens when you step out in obedience? What happens when that impression that you've been sensing, that feeling you've been feeling, is confirmed as, and you know deep within your heart it's from God. And you have a peace. But then it's not easy to make the change. What happens when you step out? Something will happen. When we come back, we'll hear from Sean what's been happening. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. To be part of today's discussion, call us at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. Or contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now let's rejoin Danny and co-host Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Martin Arinaga, and Leslie Silva.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, and our featured guest today, Sean Saturnio. Sean is a teacher at Waipao High School. He teaches the reading workshop program there. And he's been the coach, the head football coach. A real dream come true for him. And he's done an outstanding job, really. Left a nine-year milestone program intact as he began to transition out. But Sean, you were telling us about how God spoke to you that it was time, how God revealed things to you because of where your family was at, your wife, your kids, and he revealed things to you that you needed to take care of the home front. And you made a decision through what seemed like somewhat of an agonizing process to do. But you made the decision to step away from coaching. What happened after that?
Well, you know, you'd like to think that you'd immediately get a revelation on, okay, this is the next step that you have to do. And, you know, still kind of discerning that process, we, you know, there's a lot of extra time for, you know, for sure. But, you know, along the way, a lot of my coaching colleagues, you know, have offered some wonderful opportunities to continue to coach. And, you know, I was so close to saying, okay, you know, let's run. In fact, I was in with a real good brother of mine to be part of his staff. And, you know, the more I prayed on it, it was the same voice that said to, you know, to step away was saying, you know, this isn't what you need to do this year. And then, you know, I guess part of our flesh searches for something we can hold on to that says, you know, that, you know, even though we know we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight, we want to see something.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, until then, but then I just fall back on scripture that the Lord puts in my heart from Isaiah that, you know, his thoughts are not my thoughts and his ways will never be mine because his are so much higher. Mm-hmm. And although, you know, he won't necessarily reveal it everything, you know, in the time we want, but, you know, I truly believe that he reveals it when we're ready for it. Now, currently, what he's placed on my heart, you know, he's given me some wonderful experiences. Even the rough stuff, I look back as being wonderful because, you know, that has helped me to catapult me stronger in faith. But, you know, along the way, you know, he's downloaded so much wisdom, you know, after, you know, marinating in his word and stuff. And so I've been doing a lot of writing, for the past couple of years. And mm-hmm. He's put on my heart to put a book out. And, you know, right now it's, you know, and I guess a lot of the, he allowed me to do the coaching gig, I think, to, in essence, to help this next phase out because he's given me this, you know, this working title called, you know, the 21 day faith workout, X's and O's for your soul. Yeah. And what it basically breaks down to is like, you know, Stephen Covey, the author of that Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, said that, you know, it takes 21 days to create a habit. And what a wonderful habit to have other than, you know, being more faith-filled. And, you know, along the way, you know, I have, you know, this season, you know, I don't have football anymore. And, you know, to go out and to use it as a tool to go out and help. And, you know, as far as, you know, the home front, you know, you know, I would get caught up so much in the beginning with, you know, as you walk in the desert, as they say, you know, the only thing you feel or can sense, I think, when you first step in, you feel the burning sand, you feel the wind whipping that sand on your face, and you're just like, man, when am I going to ever get out of this? And then, you know, as you grow, it's like, okay, I see a sand dune. Okay, I'm going to climb over that. Well, there's another sand dune. And then you start, okay, well, Lord, how many more sand dunes am I going to have to go over? And then you come to the realization that, you know, it doesn't, not to be so concerned with tomorrow as long as you know who holds you tomorrow. And then that's when, you know, I really just hold to the promise that, you know, that it doesn't matter if it's one more sand dune or a million sand dunes that, you know, I'm going to walk it. This is God's desert. You know, there's a purpose for this.
So what is it like? What is it like at home now?
Well, back at home, you know, it's, again, it's, I'd be lying if I'd said that, you know, everything's great. And like I said, I'm just going to do my best to be that the loving spiritual leader of the house. You know, that's all I can do is to just love unconditionally to, you know, on the times that my flesh gets the best of me and I might stumble along the way to, and I've always taught my players and my children to do the same, that, you know, we can't be perfect, but we need to be perfect in how we respond to the times that we fail.
Sean, somebody today may be in the same situation. You know, sometimes it's out of our struggle that we speak. You're in the middle of it right now. Somebody's in it right now. What would you say to somebody? A struggler to another struggler. What would you say?
I would say, you know, it's so easy to fall to the ways of the world, which will just say, you know, toss everything away, you know. You know, the enemy wants to come and steal our hope. But as we're promised, hope never fails. And to just hold on to that hope, you know, that, you know, we may never fully understand the whys in the world. You know, sometimes we undergo things because it's a spiritual attack. Sometimes we undergo things because it's just a product of reaping what we've sown. You know, either, you know, sometimes you're guilty by commission, or sometimes you're guilty by omission on the things that we should have done but didn't do. And just to hang tight, and just, I realize that along the way, the tighter we get our relationship to the Lord, you know, that it's crazy. It's such a paradox that, you know, in order to truly be free, you have to enslave yourself to Christ. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense in the natural world, but it makes perfect sense in the spiritual world.
Sean, thank you so much, man. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
For sharing
Yeah.
the way that you've done. And you have a gift of eloquence.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah,
I can see the writing gift that you have.
Communicator.
And
Yeah.
your ability to communicate. But in doing so, what you're doing is just from the heart.
Yeah.
In the next few days, you're going to hear more stories from people like Sean Saturnio. Each, it's in its own special. Invite someone to listen in. Visit us at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Here's a scripture for today. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to our guest today, Sean Saturnio. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro, along with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, and our technical producer, Leah Rodriguez. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
690 KHNR keeps you up to date with what's happening in your world. It's time for the KHNR News Hour, only on Hawaii's Intelligent Talk, AM 690 KHNR.